Well, good afternoon and welcome to Local Matters. I'm Bob Bell, and my guest today is going to bring a special perspective on education. We're going to be talking about environmental education with Lisa Luck, Education Program Manager for Putnam County and the Solid Waste Planner for the Upper Cumberland Development District. And we're delighted to have you with us, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
Well, tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
I was born in Brazil and lived there until I was 16.
In Brazil?
In Brazil. My parents were missionaries. And when I came to the United States, I chose the state of Tennessee to live in because it was one of the most beautiful states I'd ever been in.
Amen.
So here I am.
Well, that's great. And how did you get into this job that you currently have?
A friend of mine told me when the Clean Commission ended up looking for an executive coordinator, a friend of mine called me. She said, you know what? There's a job I think you'd be a perfect fit for. And I went and applied for the job. I got the job. And I thought I would only be talking about litter. But as I learned more about litter, I realized that garbage was the entire, that's the whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just do one without the other. People have to have a basic understanding of garbage.
Pretty complex.
Yes, it is complex.
Well, that is, as we said, it's got a lot of different aspects to us. So how does that fit with the development district? How does that fit with Putnam County's initiatives? Tell us how your role fits into all that.
Okay. Mostly what I do is I educate myself as much as possible through reading, through attending conferences, so I can learn as much about garbage as I possibly can. And then I try to find a way to impart that to the people I work with. I've worked under the Litter Grant. That's who funds my job with Putnam County.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go into the community. I talk to, I attend meetings by invitation, and everything that I do is of no cost to the community. So I spend time in the schools with students. I have worked, we got a grant through TDEC, Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation, to provide education about waste management in Putnam County. So we have a website. That website is Why Waste Garbage, www.whywastegarbage.com. And that gives information about Putnam County. And then with the Upper Cumberland, I'm so fortunate to get to work with 14 counties. I work primarily with the solid waste directors. I help them apply for grants so that they can fund equipment. I do their annual progress reports every year. Each one has to submit a report to the state. And I just basically am available for, anybody to call me.
Wow.
If they need help with garbage matters.
And so if somebody from the community had something they wanted you to speak to a club or something, they could call you and go from there.
Yes. And if they had any research that they wanted to know about in the Upper Cumberland or Tennessee about garbage, then I can provide information about that, too.
We live in a beautiful state. Solid waste is obviously an important challenge in our state, as it is in every state in the nation. So what are the big things that you see in the Upper Cumberland or in Tennessee even that are important for us to learn about?
The most important thing for us to learn about garbage is that we have control over the garbage that we generate. Each person generates approximately 2,000 pounds, which is almost a ton worth of garbage every year.
Wow.
So if you're a person that doesn't know how to manage your garbage, you're going to cause problems for our whole county and the state of Tennessee. Last year, 2018, Putnam County spent about $4.5 million managing garbage. The cities, in conjunction with the county, ended up spending $7.5 million in 2018. And across the Upper Cumberland, $29 million was spent managing garbage.
Wow.
And so it's a big deal. It's our counties, our cities spend a lot of money on it. And so the most important thing to remember is that you need to manage your garbage before it becomes garbage. So you recycle, you compost, you reduce, reuse, recycle, repair, And most importantly, refuse. Just refuse to buy stuff that you don't really need.
I know I've got granddaughters that are just, they don't like to do anything with plastic if they can avoid it.
Good for them.
Yeah. What kind of questions, when you speak to students, what kind of questions do students have?
I guess the questions that they have the most is why, you know, how. When I talk to them about plastic waste, you know, we have made it and consumed so many billions of tons worth of plastics, and only 9% of all the plastics ever made were recycled, and the rest is just languishing either in the landfill or it's spread across our country.
Or in the oceans.
Or in the oceans, yeah. Yes, collected. And I don't know if you know this, but Tennessee River has more plastic, more microplastics. That's the plastic that is degraded into little tiny pieces. They have more microplastics than any other river.
No.
And they are studying that to try to find out why do we have so many microplastics.
Wow. I can imagine children, elementary school and middle school students especially, being very interested in this topic and also being advocates for environmental sensitivity.
Yes. And once the kids find out about plastic, they just don't, they're, you know, like your grandkids, they don't want to use it anymore. It just clicks. It makes sense with them. If you can drink water out of a tap or out of a glass or out of a thermos, why would you buy a plastic bottle that is, though, it's never going to decompose? Plastic doesn't decompose, it degrades, which means it just breaks into teeny tiny pieces over time. And that plastic is everywhere. It's in the air, it's in the soil. When we buy clothes that have polyester in it and we wash and dry them, those plastic particles slough off and get in the air. So scientists know that plastic has an impact on humans, specifically on the endocrine system. And one of the hormones that it affects is testosterone. And testosterone is a very important yes. hormone for, you know, for our species.
It is indeed.
Yes. And so, you know, studies are being done to see what the exposure to plastic, how it's manifesting in our lives and our health.
So if you look across the entire Upper Cumberland Development District that you work with, are there unique areas? I assume the Dale Hollow Lake and Center Hill Lake provide special challenges, but what are some of the unique challenges in certain counties, or are there any?
There's always challenges when it comes to solid waste, and one of the challenges is that the counties don't like to spend money to manage garbage. When most people right. think about garbage, it's not. It's like, well, that's garbage. Let's not think about that. So sometimes the salaries are low and they don't retain workers, which means they don't have trained, you know, workers. They don't have the workers that they need to fully be functional. But so that is one of the issues. And also another issue is one of education. Because people don't know what to do with their garbage unless you tell them what to do with their garbage.
Well, and in smaller communities, the history has been there's typically a dump site somewhere that is not quite what we would call a landfill, but it early served that purpose.
It did.
And the history has been that's where we put our garbage.
And you know, back in the day, the garbage that they used to put into these dumps would decompose over time. But now the garbage that goes into these dumps, they don't decompose. And they're also much worse than the garbage that used to go in. You know, people used to bury their garbage on their own farms. They didn't have that much garbage,
sure.
you know, broken crocks or, you know, metal pieces from,
right.
you know, tools that broke. And so it is much different now because we are a disposable society and we use so many single use plastics day by day that just accumulate and they don't decompose.
Yeah, that's a big challenge all across our world, and
yes.
We certainly are part of that world here in Tennessee. This is Local Matters, and we are talking to Lisa Luck, who is the Education Program Manager for Putnam County and the Upper Cumberland Development District. And also writes a column in the paper that we're going to be talking about a little bit too. Well, Lisa, you mentioned education and educating the general public, what kind of tools do you use? What are the most effective ways of letting people know?
I feel like the most effective way is to go and speak to a classroom, or, you know, to go to somebody's meeting and talk to them about garbage and give time, you know, later for people to talk about it. And it's been really difficult with this virus to get out and do that. So I've had to try to be creative and think of other ways that I can reach. One of the things I did was I did a webinar on composting, which is available if anybody wants to watch it and learn about composting. But I'm also working on other digital platforms to try to get recycling and litter, that sort of thing, so that programs can be shown, you know, at home.
And certainly if you're working with the younger folk, digital platforms are the way to go in a lot of cases. They relate to them more than I do in a lot of situations.
They do.
You know, we don't wake up every day thinking about managing our garbage, but what are some of the most important things people should know about how to do that and the big parts of doing it?
Okay, and there probably are not very many people that do think about garbage every day, but I'm one of these people that do wake up first thing in the morning, and that's what I'm thinking about because I know that there's going to be some new articles about garbage. One of the problems is that we're running out of landfill space in Tennessee. Nobody wants a landfill in their backyard. So it's getting harder and harder as people buy up property to get new landfills in. So we have more landfills closing than we have landfills that are opening. And so we really, it becomes even more important to reduce the amount of garbage that we generate so that we can make our landfills last longer.
Well, this is Local Matters. We are talking environmental education matters with Lisa Luck, and we're going to take a very quick break, and we will be back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Lisa Luck about environmental education. And Lisa, you've really got a challenging position. I know a lot of good comes from it, but we were talking about some of the problems associated with garbage management in this area. Talk a bit more about any problems that you've encountered or that you see in the future.
The biggest problem that we have right now regarding garbage is the plastic waste. We have billions of tons of plastic waste, and none of it is ever going to decompose in our lifetime or our children's lifetime, and it just keeps adding up. The plastic manufacturing companies, they intend to double their production in the next 10 to 15 years. And I attended a conference and I said, you know, we don't have anywhere to go with this waste. Why would you double your production? They said, well, because our climate is changing, everybody's going to need bottled water in places where, you know, they can't get water. And wow. So that was, you know, one of their reasonings for, you know, beefing up their plastic consumption. But when it ends up in the ocean, that is the worst problem of all. It is affecting the oceans because those microplastics, the fish and birds are consuming that. They think it's food, so they're literally starving to death. They're getting tangled in it. We are, a whale washed up not too long ago, and they did an autopsy, and they found that the whale was absolutely full of plastic. And so that, and, you know, our turtles, so we it's just out there, and we don't have a good way to filter that out of there. The little pieces, the microplastics, get tinier and tinier. So we just don't have a solution for it. And the only solution is to reduce the amount of plastic or eliminate our use of plastic. That's the only solution. Let's not make more.
And it is a real challenge, isn't it? Because
yes.
we just can't. I'm just looking around this room, and everywhere I look, there's plastic.
Yes.
And that's just something that, as a consumer society, America has gotten really gotten too comfortable with.
Yes. Well, it is one of the least expensive materials as far as making things, and so there's a big profit margin in it. It can be any color, any shape, any texture, and so it's just so versatile. It's what people really gravitate toward.
So let's talk a bit about plastic recycling, and both at the nationwide level and then all the way down to Putnam County. Is that a viable alternative, part of the solution, and how do we do it?
That is part of the solution, and that is really the only solution we have, because the alternative is to throw it out on the ground or put it in the landfill, and neither one of those are good options. So the only option we have is to recycle the plastics that we're able to recycle. We can only recycle plastics number one and number two. And it's confusing because the plastic bags have number two on it. But the county doesn't recycle those. But Kroger does, Walmart does, mm-hmm. Food Lion.
But they take them away
Publix.
To a special place?
They take them back to their corporate facility. So mm-hmm. when the trucks come to bring food, they can carry their cardboard and their plastic back to be recycled.
That?
Yep. And so it's important to recycle that. So the plastic has got to be recycled. And there is a bill making its way through Congress right now. And what they're going to try to do is they're going to try to put some of the cost of recycling. Right now, the counties absorb all the costs for recycling. So they're going to try to put the cost for managing plastic recycling and other beverage containers on the manufacturers, because that is the biggest issue. The manufacturers are not responsible for what they create. Once it's out there, it's out there, and it's on us to do something with it.
Wow. Yeah, that's something I don't think many people know. So the solution there to educate the public is to get them to take those bags back to the food stores or the Walmarts that they get them from.
Yes.
I assume they'll take any food bag or just their own?
Any food bag.
Any food bag. Yeah.
Any plastic food
bag. That would
bag.
Be complicated.
Yes. And right now in Putnam County, we have five locations that accept recyclables. They're open 24/7. If you go to the website, you know, Why Waste Garbage, they're listed. We have 9 convenience centers that accept recyclables, except for only 2 locations accept glass. So you're better off recycling the glass in the city of Cookeville.
Yeah. And so something like a plastic water bottle or a plastic pen, the city of Cookeville and the county accept those?
The only thing that is accepted are like plastic and soda bottles,
uh-huh.
Or detergent bottles, like, you know, dish soap,
sure.
clothes soap, that sort of thing. So, if you look at the bottom of the container, you look for 3 little arrows that are racing around each other, and there's a number located within that. It's teeny tiny. You'll have to wear your glasses, but you see if it's a 1 or a 2, and if it's a 1 or a 2, it can be recycled, but it needs to be clean. It has to be rinsed.
Yeah. And then I assume in the recycling process, it goes through a decomposition of some time and is reinvented some way.
Yes. And there's a couple of different ways to do that. One is that they shred it into pellets. And another way that they're working on is to break it down chemically so that it could be really recycled then, because they could reuse it over and over again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know it's a big problem and a big challenge for our county and our state and our nation, but it is clearly something that's just going to keep right on getting bigger until we find ways to manage it. Well, let's shift gears just a bit. This is Local Matters. We're talking to Lisa Luck about environmental issues and educational issues related to the environment. And you had a column in last Sunday's paper about one of my favorite topics, or at least it was my dad's favorite topic, I think, and that's gardening. So let's talk a little bit about gardening. What kind of things are there that make you like gardening so much?
I've always loved gardening. Ever since I was little, you know, I grew up in Brazil and people had their personal gardens in their yard and, you know, grew their own greens and had their orange trees and mango trees, avocado trees. We had all that and chickens living in the yard. And I just, you know, grew up as that was just part of, you know, my natural life. And so that's what I've always wanted to reproduce for myself. As I have gotten older, I have tried to put in a garden almost every single place I've ever lived. Since the age of 19, I've gardened somehow, somewhere, every single year doing something. I love to garden.
Well, I do too. It's a great pastime, and it's got some good exercise in it.
Yes.
You can actually get some aerobics in.
Yes. And I enjoy just being outside, not just the gardening, although the activity is nice. It's like participating in other lives. You see the birds, you know, carry out their family duties. I've got crows that are living in one of the big trees, and the babies are growing up, and the parents, you know, still bring them food, and they sit up there and chatter. And just, you know, so many animals. I have my computer where I can look out the window. I'm working at home now. And I can't imagine I ever get anything out of the garbage because there's a parade of birds and animals that are, you know, nipping at this and eating that.
Yeah.
I got to fight for those strawberries.
Yeah, it's amazing. Those birds will see that as a an open cafeteria for them.
They do.
And the deer do, too, out in my garden in North Putnam County. Well, what are your favorite plants in a garden?
I guess I love the vegetables because I love to cook. I love the herbs. Even if I don't have vegetables, I try to have herbs because you can that really dresses everything up. But this year I've really focused on trying to plant flowers for the bees and the butterflies and just trying to, you know, enjoy visually my yard more and for the enjoyment of others. And every year it's different, you know, depending on the rain, depending on the amount of time you spend, depending on what invasive plants have popped up at that, you know, particular bed. So it is all an exciting challenge, and it changes from year to year, really from moment to moment.
Well, it's always exciting to watch them grow, and I've got some zucchini right now that my wife keeps saying, "When are you bringing those home?" She doesn't like me to let them grow big, and I know they are tastier when they're small.
But yep.
We are really in the middle of the zucchini and just watching the bean plants grow right now more than anything else. Well, gardens are, we've been talking about environment, gardens are good for the environment, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And one of the most important things is the composting. You, instead of piling your stuff up by the yard, your leaves, your grass clippings, or putting them in your garbage can, just find a little place in your yard. You don't want it right under your bedroom window or anything like that. You know, just set it back in the corner to make sure you keep it balanced. It should not smell. You just pile up your food waste and you layer it with leaves or grass clippings. And just it will decompose. Just set it up where there's plenty of airflow. My best compost bin I've ever used are 4 pallets that are lashed together with bungee cords. And I just, you know, pile it. It's almost full, which means I need to get 4 more pallets and mm-hmm. do another compost bin. But at the end of, 8 months or a year, I can pull all that stuff that's decomposed and spread it on my garden. It's full of all the vitamins I couldn't use the first time around. I get to use all those vitamins again.
Well, people may have picked up on a couple of things you say, like, how to compost. How would they contact you if they want further information?
The easiest way is to go into the website, www.ywastegarbage.com. And if you send a contact notice to me, it will pop into my phone almost immediately. And that way I can get back. That's the quickest way to reach me is by email or, you know, by going on to the contact.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, I'm so glad you've been with us. We have been talking to Lisa Luck, the Environmental Education Program Manager for for the Upper Cumberland Development District and for Putnam County. And Lisa, thank you for sharing some good information with us, and best of luck with that garden this summer.
You too. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here.